Is YouTube algorithm the cause for the creator burnout that we're seeing all over YouTube? We're constantly told to feed the algorithm with more and more videos, never miss an upload, and stick to a rigid schedule. If not, our channel will die. But is all this true, or is all this just causing enough stress to making us want to quit YouTube for good? Well, we're going to be discussing all of this and more on today's episode of Tube Talk.
Welcome to Tube Talk, the show dedicated to helping you become a better video creator so you can get more views, subscribers, and build your audience. Brought to you by vidIQ. Download for free at vidIQ.com.
And welcome to another episode of Tube Talk. My name is Liron Segev. I am a tech blogger, a YouTuber, and the director of customer success here at vidIQ, where every day we help creators big and small level up their channels, get more subscribers, more views in less time. Creator burnout is something that we see often here at vidIQ, and it's quite serious, so we wanted to address it head on and understand the cause so we can try and avoid it as best as possible. So joining me today as part of the vidIQ crew, we have our YouTube resident expert creator, Rob Wilson. Say hello to the nice people, Rob.
Hello, everybody. I'm chilled. I'm relaxed. I'm going to make sure I don't burn out during this chat.
Well, yeah, we definitely don't want that. And then we've also got our gaming master, Dan Carson, who's right here with us. Hello, Dan.
Hello. I'm already burnt out, so
very good.
We're off to a great start.
Did you see my intro? So good. So good.
Really solid intro.
Right? Like we've done this before. Okay, but good news, people. We've actually got a special guest. She is a filmmaker, a vlogger, Premiere Pro tutorial genius. It's Leela from YouTube. Hello, Leela.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
All right. So everybody's here, but we're talking about a bit of a nasty topic. You maybe have picked up some clues from Dan and from Rob. We're talking about creator burnout. So guys, creator burnout is definitely real. How do we even define what is burnout? Who wants to pick that one up first?
Go on, I'll take a first stab at this.
You take a stab at this.
I think creator burnout is when you just don't have that normal creative spice and energy. Like you think of a video idea, and rather than getting really excited and then jumping into the creation aspect of it, there's these doubts and these questions that come into your head about whether you want to do it. And there might be many influences for this, you know, whether the channel's not growing, life interruptions, that type of thing. And I think for a creator's natural journey on YouTube, there will be these peaks and troughs where you have these moments of inspiration and you feel like you're on fire with every single piece of content that you go through. And then there's other times when it doesn't matter what you do, it doesn't seem to work on the channel, or the when you're making a video, you're hitting these roadblocks and obstacles and you just seem to lose that energy, that general idea of enthusiasm, passion, and it just doesn't seem to be there. That's how I would briefly define it.
Not so brief, but a good definition. Guys, anyone else want to jump in here? Leela, what do you think creator burnout is?
Well, I think that Rob already summarized it properly, but what I do think is that when you experience creative burnout is that even coming up with an idea is so hard. Even just thinking about, and when you get an idea, like Rob said, it sounds stupid. You don't want to do it. It just sounds like meh. And that's basically, I think, in one word, if you want to describe creative burnout, it's meh. That's just kind of how you feel.
Thanks for joining us.
Meh. Meh.
And then Dan, anything to add to our creator burnout? Have they covered it?
With gaming, it's kind of too problems. You can get burnt out on the whole video making process, as has been explained, but you can also burn out from your topic, in my case a game. And when you kind of live in a game and create content on it every single day, you have to deal with that. You might be really in the mood to create videos, but you're like, I don't even want to look at this video game anymore. I need a break from it, and that's what my channel's about. So what do I do?
Yep, that makes sense. The only thing I would just add to all these points is that creator burnout is almost when you just can't imagine yourself just making this content. You're just not motivated. There's no way you want to pick up a camera. You don't want to write a script. Everything you research is nah. Okay, as Leela, to quote Leela, it's just nah. You don't feel like doing it. And like, what am I doing this for? And then all those doubts start to creep in and going on and going on. So let's start with Leela this time. Leela, how long have you been on YouTube?
I've been on YouTube for a little bit over a year. I started in June last year, and it has been a crazy ride. And I've definitely experienced somewhat of a burnout. I wouldn't call it like a burnout, but I was leading to that point. Like I was coming very close to that point. But yeah, I've been doing YouTube right now for what is it? A year and 2 months?
Give or take.
Can I just ask you a quick question? When you first started your channel, did you have any expectations about what you wanted to accomplish, like any goals or anything in particular? Because I'm just wondering how that might contribute to burnout, you know, 6 months, 12 months down the line.
Yeah, I think that's funny that you ask that, because when I started YouTube, I had no expectations. I had no, like, I didn't really feel like, or my idea wasn't to grow on YouTube. My idea was, the reason why I came onto YouTube was because I was missing this little bit of like creative freedom, because I started making videos for clients and I loved it. But at the same time, I wasn't doing something that I truly love. So that is why I came onto YouTube. And that is basically also the reason why I started. That was also the reason why I didn't think about growing on YouTube, because I basically just wanted to create a little space on the internet. But of course, I started growing, and I started growing right out of the gate, basically. So I think that not necessarily my goal from the start has led to the point where I felt a little bit burned out, but definitely the journey that I've been on and the crazy growth and the expectations have led me to kind of burn out. Yeah,
that's interesting then. So I love the idea of not having a mindset coming in that I want to monetize my channel, I want to get X number of subscribers or whatever. And I think a lot of creators would do well to have that mindset to begin with, because I always look at it as YouTubers, before you have subscribers, views, etc., you got to love the video content creation process. It's the same as like a painting or pottery or any craft where you could do it in a room by yourself and nobody ever sees it. But man, you enjoyed that process. So I think it's great that you started that because you wanted a creative outlet. But then it sounds like the actual pressure of the, I guess, YouTube, you know, the distribution platform, the audience, that pressure was what kind of, I guess, made you stop necessarily making what you wanted and then start making what your audience was interested in. And that kind of maybe led to the idea of burnout and so on.
I think for me is when I started YouTube, I wanted to make a filmmaking channel. So I started doing Premiere Pro tutorials, for example, but I also wanted to do other tutorials. But the thing for me was that I experienced a lot of pressure. Like I put a lot of pressure on myself. And because of that pressure, I felt like I had no time to create other stuff. I felt like I had no time to go outside, have fun, film something that I love, and then put it on YouTube. I felt like every week I had to upload something, or even twice a week I had to upload something. And because of that, I started sticking to Premiere Pro tutorials, because I knew that I could make that within that time frame. And I basically didn't really allow myself to have fun anymore, even though I loved making those Premiere Pro tutorials, and I still do. I started putting a lot of pressure on myself, both that it had to be perfect, but also that I had to keep uploading. And because of that pressure, I felt like it wasn't true, but I felt like I didn't have any time to do anything else that I love to do with regards to filmmaking, if that makes sense.
See, but it sounds like that there is a play to the algorithm that definitely comes in here. So, you know, a lot of us create content because we love it. A lot of us create content because we think that is what we want to produce for the world. But do you guys find that at a certain point, we almost have to put that little bit on the back burner because, oh, the algorithm picked up one of my videos. I need to make more of that video because that's how I'm going to grow. And then you start playing to the algorithm and then lose the creativity or lose the reason why you started your channel in the first place. What do you guys think?
I can totally get on board with that. That's that's something that I think you get to this point where I want to grow, right? And I want to have fun at the same time. I'm doing this to have fun. And again, just going back to gaming, it's, you know, it's fun to play games, it's fun to record it, and it's fun to like bring it to an audience. But when like the videos that kind of started to dictate what I was doing tended to be the ones that were helpful in some way, rather than just me kick back and play some Minecraft today. It was the ones where I'm like, oh, I learned something cool, I'm going to share this. Oh, it did pretty good, you know? And what if I did that again? Well, now I got to do a bunch of research. Now, because that was just one thing I knew. What else could I teach people? And now the work begins, right? And that's the moment when you realize, that's the moment when I realized my channel has to be about this audience if I wanted to continue growing at that pace. So I started to do less of the fun things that you know, were made me excited to record, and more of the things that I'm excited to record, but gosh, you know, I got to do a lot of work here. You know, I really need to balance the schedule.
Yeah, I'm finding that a lot with a lot of creators that I work with, where they really want to go in a certain direction, but they know that when they do that video is going to suck. They know already as they make that video, they know it's not going to do well, but it's just one of those things that the algorithm seems to love. And therefore, if they want to grow, well, they have to do that video. I mean, Leela, like you said, you wanted to go a certain direction, and then you got a little bit of traction, a little bit of recognition. Did you feel the pressure there now to say, okay, let's leave my creativity for a bit, let me focus on the algorithm, and let's see how that's going to help me grow my channel?
Not necessarily. I have had moments where a video picked up and I was like, oh my God, I need to make more of it. I don't have time for anything else. I need to make more of it. I've definitely experienced that. And it was really hard to like hit the brakes and be like, do I want to make that? But the reason I never started to make to only make Premiere Pro tutorials because of the algorithm. It was just something that I was comfortable with and that fit my schedule, basically. Of course, it helped with my growth. I'm not going to say that it didn't help with my growth, but it wasn't because of the algorithm that I started making Premiere Pro tutorials. But when the algorithm kind of rewarded me with a video that was doing well, I did get kind of like, oh my gosh, I need to make another video about this. So I can relate to that part, yeah.
Rob, you've been making videos for a while before even vidIQ. I mean, you've had your own personal channel. How did you kind of find your journey? And how long have you been on YouTube? Because people think you just started YouTube when you started with vidIQ. But
I think 10 years is probably a safe estimate right now. I think I started my channel in 2008, but took it seriously end of 2011, so around about 10 years. And I think for the first 2 or 3 years, like I say, I just enjoy the video making process. So it didn't really matter too much what I was making, because it's just all of the editing, the filming, and then getting that little bit of reward from YouTube. But I think maybe 3 or 4 years into my journey, so to speak, I did get fatigued and I got tired. And I think it was when I was being a little self-indulgent, making content I wanted to make rather than listening to my audience. I moved countries, so I think that, like, it, you know, I talk about life interruptions sometimes with burnout or things stopping you from being on YouTube. So there was a natural break at that point. And I think in that 6 months when I wasn't really on YouTube, that did re-energize me and give me the, you know, that drive and that passion to start making video content again. And I think at the time I just accepted it. It was one of those things where I was trying to say to myself, you know what, YouTube's not necessarily going anywhere while I'm away. It may get a little more difficult to make content because of YouTube continues to grow. But I think at some point you have to accept that if YouTube isn't your job, if it is a passion or a hobby, there are going to be times when you may be a little less excited about it. And sometimes just taking a break, whether it's a week or two or a couple of months, can really help refresh your energy.
Yeah, that's super interesting, because there's a lot of fear out there saying, oh, I'm being told by every expert, make one video a week, make one video a week, make one video a week. And, you know, I've got to stick to my schedule. I mean, how many times have we heard that? If you say you got to make a Tuesday video, you best make sure you got a Tuesday video. All those things help grow your channel, for sure. There's no question about that. But then you got to kind of, I think to myself, do I have to balance that with my ability to create good content to hit that Tuesday mark? And sometimes that pressure is just too much and you tend to almost work against you. I used to have a series called Tech Tip Tuesday. And guess what? On every Tuesday, there was a video. But the pressure, knowing that there's this hard deadline, just worked against me. So we do have to kind of play algorithm, creativity, the audience, schedule. All of this needs to kind of balance in some sort of harmony to get us that peacefulness that we look for in YouTube. Dan, on your channel and doing specifically with gaming, where it's now, there's lots of action, the games are hot, people are making content. How do you balance your ability to create with what's going on, what's trending, what's hot?
The biggest struggle I've always had was keeping up with those trends, because you don't know what's going to suddenly take off. And with because I usually would stick to Minecraft, and that made it easy. It's one game, but there are things within it that trend. Like out of nowhere, this new mini game will come out and everyone's starting to play it, and you realize, oh, maybe I should do a video on that, you know. And you kind of wish, gosh, like now I'm not getting the views that everyone else is getting at my level, if you will, people at my similar subscription range and stuff. And it's because I wasn't on top of that trend, but they all were, you know. So that, speaking of burnout, added to the burnout too, because now off of YouTube, I'm having to, you know, become this data scientist of not just YouTube, which I'm already like focused on, but now I got to focus on Minecraft and like what's hot, you know, and what new thing is out that might get big. Maybe I can jump on it early and so forth. So it definitely adds a challenge, but it was one when I was not feeling burnt out, it was one that I was definitely up for.
Interesting. I spoke with Josh Zimmerman a little while ago on Tube Talk. Funny enough, we did a whole podcast about burnout, and he's actually explains it in a very interesting way. He says that it gets to a point where you go into the death spiral, as he called it. You know, you have to create a video. You're under pressure to create it. You don't know what the title's going to be. You don't know what the research is going to be. So now it puts you even under more pressure. And then your brain kind of has this fight or flight situation and reaction. And physiologically in your brain, certain things start to shut down because they're not essential for you to survive. And the first thing that goes is creativity. And what does that do? It means you can't come up with a better title. You can't come up with your next video idea. So what do? You go into even more pressure. And then it spirals and spirals and spirals until you just cannot look at a computer, cannot look at a camera, and you have to step away. So a big advice that we always like to tell people, that it's okay to walk away. Take a break. Rob, have you taken a break from YouTube at any stage besides your move? And you said you came back reinvigorated and you were ready to attack this. Did you find that actually destroyed your channel? What was the impact on that?
I think at the time my channel was in a bit of a low point anyway, so there was nothing to destroy from what I can remember. Once I got back, I was doing new things and the channel started to grow at that point. I don't think I've taken any long breaks since then, other than usual maybe vacation 1 week or two. And so one of the things I've always recommended to a creator is that they should always be publishing, and that's the important word, publishing at like 80% of their full capacity. And what I mean by that is, if you are capable of creating, let's say, 10 videos a month, then you should actually maybe only publish 8 of those, so that you've got 2 videos as backup, which might not be like time sensitive. It could be evergreen content or whatever, something that you don't need to release due to something that's happening in the world, so that when you want to take a break, you can fire out that video so that you keep your publishing momentum. But I mean, I've found that as I've got more into YouTube, that I've just been doing more and more work on it. But I think actually, funnily enough, this year, 2020, I have felt a little bit of, I'm not going to say burnout quite yet, but more just a buildup of fatigue. Accumulated fatigue, where I've just been doing this for so long now and doing the same things that I'm starting to question whether I need to step back from the actual creation of things and invest more time in personal development, whether that be learning how to use a new editor or maybe, you know, take some, I talk about this a couple of times already in the live streams, like doing some acting classes or something that's going to benefit me, so that when I take all of that to content creation, I'm a better person for it. And that change might do good for me as well.
Now, I love that, because personal development is key. And what we tend to forget is that YouTube is acting. YouTube is a whole different persona, even though it's not supposed to be. It's supposed to be you and being authentic, but you're still putting on a show for the world to see. And taking that time for yourself to learn some different skills will only benefit your channel in the long run. But another point I want to pick out on here is you've been doing YouTube for a while now, and you feel kind of the need to take a break and reinvigorate. What I want to turn to Leela, who's been doing YouTube for a year and 2 months, give or take, and already she's kind of felt that pressure at one point. And recently, Leela, you just published a video saying, okay, time out. I need to regroup. Tell us what's going on after only a year and a bit.
Yeah, so basically, I think I already told a little bit about that. But yeah, my growth is pretty, it's been pretty good. I mean, I grew almost, what is it? I'm almost at 30,000 subscribers now, a little over a year. So that's great, but that adds a lot of pressure. And I, like I already said, I was feeling like I had to upload a video and another video and another video, and I just wasn't loving it anymore. And I should love it because I absolutely love it. I love making videos, but I just wasn't loving it anymore. And every idea just, it just didn't feel good. And everyone tells you have to be consistent, but that consistency is not just, it doesn't only mean being consistent on YouTube, but it also means being consistent in thumbnails and titles and everything. But I just thought, be consistent on YouTube. You have to upload or else you're going to kill your channel. But I have been taken, I have been taking a few weeks now, I think. I have been uploading, but basically what I did was I took all of the pressure off and I was just going to be like, you know what? If I'm going to make a video, I'm going to make a video. If I'm going to publish, I'm going to publish. If not, I'm not. And that has done so well for my creativity that I've actually still uploaded like 4 videos in the last few weeks, which is more productive than I thought I would be. But that is because I'm, again, refinding that love for filmmaking now.
So you take the pressure off yourself, essentially.
Yes, yes. That is basically what I did, because I put so much pressure on myself because there were so many more eyeballs on me, you know, and I needed to be consistent. And especially because when a video starts getting momentum or your channel starts getting momentum, you cannot leave. Well, I left and I've had my best month yet. So, you know, in terms of numbers, in terms of growth. So you definitely can leave. If I want to give someone advice, I would say that you can leave YouTube because YouTube isn't going anywhere. You have videos that will work for you, especially if they're evergreen videos. If you do trending topics, try to do also some evergreen videos that will, you know, keep your channel alive. If you take like 1 or 2 weeks off or even a month off, YouTube will still be there.
Okay, so here's the question for Mr. Dan, because he streams on multiple platforms. Dan, on Twitch and those kind of platforms where it's just you, there's no algorithm, people are there for you, can you afford to take a break?
Well, if I was doing Twitch full time, I would say no. Definitely, that's the biggest problem I think that full-time Twitch streamers face. It's why we see people like Ninja get, you know, signing big money contracts to go somewhere else, because that represents an opportunity for them to step away, you know, and cut down their schedule. Now their bills are being paid through another means. It's something I've looked into a little bit in terms of just what people must go through. Like for that, that's why I knew for me, like early on, Twitch wasn't going to be a thing that I could make a full-time job. It's a lot of fun. And the benefit of Twitch is that there is no algorithm, you know. Your channel won't be, you know, it won't be like pushed down in search because you decided to do a cooking stream one day when normally you do a fishing stream, right? And that's awesome. Cool. You can do whatever you want. And your audience who enjoys watching will stick around. And if they don't, they don't. On YouTube, if you do something like that, you risk, you know, confusing everything. The algorithm gets confused. What if the fishing video takes off when you're a cooking channel? Now what? You know? So there's benefits, but yes, if full-time Twitch streamers have to deal with that, like you're not showing up in search when you're not live because you're not there. So it always be streaming is a common mantra and one that I've always felt kind of dangerous.
Yeah, that's dangerous. Like you say, a lot of people are basically their entire livelihood depends on the fact that they're there in front of camera. And we all have good days and we all have bad days. And some days you just cannot face this. You just don't want to do this anymore. So a place without an algorithm, you kind of pros and cons to everything, right?
Right.
It's all about you. It's your personality. People are there for you. But then you got to be there for the people at the same time, right?
What's also ironic right now, Leron, is you're wearing a shirt that says "Eat, Sleep, Create, Repeat," and so maybe that's not quite the right merchandise for this for this live stream. Leela, I did actually want to ask you a question about your pivot here, and I'm gonna kind of put you on the spot a little bit in terms of like pure pure YouTube numbers, right? So okay. I've put a link to Leela's channel, by the way, in the description. So you've got 28,000 subscribers. Yeah. And last month, I'm just going to read out the view counts. And these were all pretty much Premiere Pro tutorials, like where the audience knows what they're going to get from your channel. 13,000 views, 8,000 views, 3,000 views, 66,000 views. So all look to be fairly healthy. Then you did this video that you're saying changes on the way. You're going to do something different. And then these are the view counts from the following videos over the last 2 weeks. 3,000 views, 4,000 views. 1,000 views, 1,200 views. So there's a clear switch in that the audience isn't reacting as well to this current content. But I guess what I'm trying to get at here is I want to know like your response to this in terms of you've changed, you've made this change because I think you need to sustain your creativity on your channel.
So the question is how I respond to having lower views?
Yeah, I guess what would be your response is why have you done the change because you're getting less views now? That might be like the cynical YouTube growth style question response to that your change.
Yeah, well, I honestly, I don't really care.
No, that's fine. Like, I mean, that's a good answer. I think that's the right answer.
I mean, of course I want my videos to perform well, but I also knew that my last two videos, which were released within 18 hours of each other because of two launches from brands, I knew that they were probably not going to do as well as my other videos, but I did have a lot of fun making them and they were important for me. In terms of relationships with brands. So, you know, I mean, of course, it would be great if I get like 50,000 views on them, but I had no expectations. So that wasn't really an issue for me.
Yeah, I think that's the right attitude, isn't it, to have sometimes when you can't always be just making videos because somebody wanted to learn how to use Adobe Rush in 10 minutes. It's like, I fancy doing something really creative with this microphone and it might not get as many views on my channel, but hey, sometimes... For me, for my channel, you know, I sometimes say that you should be working towards an audience maybe 70 to 80% of the time, but 20% of the time, you're allowed to be indulgent and do whatever you want. And kind of, you've done a hard shift, but I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with that.
Yeah, it's like what Sarah Dici always says. She always says, one for me, one for them.
Yeah.
And I think that is a really great approach. And that is something that I will be doing as well. I don't know if it's going to be in that ratio, like one for me, one for them, but I'm definitely going to be making more videos for me as well.
Yeah, but don't forget that people love you for you. So
there is that as well. Yeah,
you're gonna have your core audience that's always gonna stick with you, and they're already attached to you, and whatever you do, they're gonna be watching. And then you get the peripheral audience, which is just gonna come when they need something from you, and then leave when it's not their topic, and that's fine. I think the big mistake that people do is they try to be all things to all people all of the time. And you simply cannot. You're always going to upset someone.
It is really hard to not want to be like everything to all people. But that is really true what you just said. I mean, I'm looking at my channel right now as well. And I mean, obviously my Premiere Pro tutorials are doing better. But I also want to do other things. And there is a lot of people who also love my vlogs, for example. So my vlogs usually perform pretty well as well compared to the rest of my stuff. So I'm just excited to make more videos. And I think one thing that everyone says is niche down, and then people start niching down too much. So for me, that would be maybe only doing color grading tutorials in Premiere Pro. And then that is what I would have to make, because like Dan already said, you know, what if your fishing channel or fishing video just takes off? If you're going to niche down too much and it's going to cost your happiness, then you shouldn't be doing that. Because I think that the most important thing about YouTube, I think Rob touched on that as well, is that you have to love it. If you don't love the entire process, if you just, what are you doing on YouTube? I mean, money is great, but little secret, you don't really get paid that much. So
don't tell them that. but guys, remember that I mean, just a little while ago, slime was all the rage, right? Everybody was making slime videos, and then everybody was chasing fidget spinners. Now, they all have a time and a place, but if you're forever just chasing what's trending and what's hot, well, then you're forever going to be on this hamster wheel, because you've got to wake up every morning and how do I make this? How do I make this video? What's going on? How do I get on top of that? And people have that mindset at a certain point because they want that growth. But unless you got a big team, or unless you have the ability to do this, that's going to burn you out very, very, very quickly, especially when the world changes direction. You can have the most amazing slime channel, but if it's no longer a thing anymore, now what do? Your entire channel is built around one topic. So Lila, yeah, but niching down is great, but you're very dangerous to niche after a trending topic, and then you're kind of in a tight spot. I mean, Dan, you can speak to this as well from a gaming point of view. How many times have people said, oh, I just want to do Fortnite videos, or I just want to do the 11-year-old game Minecraft. What should I do with it? Then you're now kind of stuck in this little hole.
With games, it's actually the opposite that I've seen from our audience in a lot of channel audits, where they, and I'm like this too, I don't just want to play Minecraft. So it becomes the opposite problem. I want to play everything. I'm a gaming channel. I'm not a Minecraft channel. And I always give the advice of like, that's great, but you can work your way to that. They see people like the Markipliers and PewDiePies of the world playing whatever they want. And those were their inspirations. And they're super excited whenever the video comes out. Oh, cool. I want to do that. You know, well, they have millions of subscribers. They can play whatever they want, you know, because they don't have to, their titles can be two words long. People are going to watch it. They've kind of earned that with all of their credibility and clout. But you start small. But I love the idea of not niching down too much. If your whole channel was Minecraft redstone tutorials that taught you how to harvest crops, you would run out of ideas very quickly. You know, that's so small. And maybe they do great. Maybe the 10 of them that you did out of the gate did fantastic. But now your Minecraft automated farm channel, where does it go? You know, and that's when you would want to niche out. You'd want to start with something like that. Let it take off. Let people get to know you. And then now your farms actually process animals rather than wheat and stuff. And now the next one is, I just made this cool redstone thing I thought you should check out. And then maybe eventually when you have 1,000 subscribers, things are growing, things are taking off. Today, I'm just going to play Minecraft for 20 minutes. 20-minute video, just me playing Minecraft, you know, and you can sort of broaden your scope. But what you don't want to do is play Fortnite on your Minecraft channel and have it do nothing. Or maybe you just wanted to play it that one day, it takes off, and now you're like, well, what about my Minecraft channel? It's kind of a delicate, you know, ecosystem.
It's a balancing act at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But again, something from your comment is, what happens if those videos take off and then you just make more of those? So Rob, if your videos on vidIQ's channel, the ones that how to get from 0 to 100 subscribers or 0 to 1,000 subscribers, if that's the something that you saw lots of traction on, would you then make 20 more videos on the same topic?
Yeah, I probably would, because it's just something I like talking about.
That's why I asked you.
I would. Because I think we have to be a little careful of saying don't niche down too much, because I think that's something that we almost preach every single channel audit. I think the balancing act comes between finding a niche of some area which you are an authority on, and most importantly, you're also passionate about as well, so you love talking about the topic. But I think that there has to be some discipline to stick within a niche for, you know, like 50 videos or like a year, to build up a community who then start to fall in love with you, the person, the personality. I mean, you look at most channels and they tend to be most successful channels, and they tend to be driven by an individual or a team of people who the audience really starts to build a connection with. I mean, I can't think of many channels off the top of my head that are just voiceover ones, except for, you know, the occasional ones like 5 Minute Crafts, but then that's like educational stuff, and that's a slightly different genre. For me, yes, but what I would be starting to do when I'm in that niche is that I think you can drive a lot of people into your video content through the thumbnail and the title and the metadata, that type of thing. But I think once somebody's in your video and you've provided a value from that title and thumbnail, then you can have a bit of license to do these other things and go on maybe little adventures, whatever those be, like the storytelling element. I think that that's an undertapped area. And it's something I probably want to work on a little bit more in my videos, whereas as opposed to just talking to the camera and giving these tips and tricks, maybe do a little bit of adventure where I go for a walk or I do something with Jasper, my dog, or, you know, something that keeps you creatively engaged in the content and maybe adds a little more entertainment to the content.
Yeah, I think with all the hate that something like TikTok was getting, the one thing it did do for a lot of creators on YouTube is give you an outlet. You can go to this stupid platform, because some people hate it, but you go to this lovely platform, if you love it, and you can just get silly, get weird, do some voiceovers, get some dancing going, talk about whatever you need to. And that 15 seconds or 60 second clip actually reignited that creativity. And then when you brought that back to YouTube, you had a little bit more energy and more storytelling, and knowing that it's not just you standing in front of a camera doing a talking head video. You can talk about storytelling as well to make the audience more engaged and to really help you grow that channel. A lot of it has to do with your mindset. Am I excited to make this video? Because if you're not, it's going to come across as I'm too frustrated. I don't care what this thumbnail looks like. I don't care what this title is. I just want it up there because I've said Tuesday I'm going to deadline, so I have to do that. So quality over quantity, are we having that kind of discussion? And how does that play out as far as burnout is concerned? Leela, do you think you need to make more and more and more and more videos to get recognition from YouTube? Or are you okay to slow things down and just make better videos, but just less of them?
I think you can go either way. I think it also depends on your strategy. Like if you're going for recommended or what is it, suggested or browse. But for me, honestly, based on my experience and based on my data, I can slow down and make better videos and make videos that I like to make. So I don't know. I don't know. I think, like I said, it depends on the strategy, but for me personally, I would go for quality if that makes me happy.
Well, happiness is kind of the important factor here, because otherwise it's just another thing you got to do. And that's the problem. I'm wondering, and then maybe kind of Dan and Rob can pick this one up. I'm wondering if it's the same advice for different size channels. So, you know, it's all very well that you've got 30,000 subscribers like Leela does. She's got lots of data. So she looks at it and say, you know what, I'm okay to take a break. Does the same rule apply for someone who's got 20 subscribers or someone who's trying to really get their YouTube channel going? Or are things kind of different depending on your level? What do you guys think?
I would say definitely. I think it certainly feels that way, but people are people, you know? So if you feel like you have 20 subscribers and there's a lot of room to grow, your videos are doing okay, but maybe you've done what a lot of people have told you to do, make daily videos, you know, which I don't necessarily agree with. You're already risking burnout in a very early stage. I would never encourage anybody, if they're feeling that way, to just power through, because the quality of your content is going to suffer. Then the growth is going to suffer as a result. And then you're just going to get more burnt out, more depressed, more upset, whatever emotions that triggers for you, because it's just not going your way. But then you feel like, well, I got to make daily videos. I said I would. So now you're making more. And it's like, it's that death spiral you talked about, you know, you tailspin, and eventually you throw your hands up in the air. Maybe you quit for a while, maybe you quit forever. So I think the principles need to be the same, but I do think the strategies for different sizes vary. And I also think YouTube definitely, as you can see just from this panel here of people, it one size doesn't fit all. You know, if you're a gaming channel, you're going to do one thing. If you're a channel that does premiere tutorials and filmmaking, you're going to do a totally different thing, totally different strategy.
Personal opinion on this for me is I think quantity should have more of an influence on you as a smaller channel. And the reason I think this is because I don't think anything beats experience when you first start your YouTube channel. It doesn't matter what any of us tell anybody who's watching this live stream right now. If you don't continually upload content and practice all of the things that we're saying, at least I'd say 50 times. And I'm talking about the entire video process, like make an idea, filming it, editing it, then uploading it to YouTube. That's really crucial. Understanding, creating a thumbnail, the title, metadata and all that, and then responding to comments, getting a feeling and understanding of how the life of a video, I think, is really important. And as I've said already, you should love making videos before you even start a YouTube channel. And so without the expectations of getting lots of views and subscribers, just repeating that process numerous times, I think is really valuable. So that's when I think quantity can be more important, to a point where, right, okay, I understand now, I've got 50 subscribers and I think they're reacting better to this type of content. So now I'm going to invest more time, add more quality to the content that I know works for my audience. But I completely accept that that might not be the strategy that everybody wants to do.
I will add to that that the beginning, you don't have data on your channel. You're still starting out. You're still trying to find your feet. You actually may not even know what your niche is or what you want to be doing. So I do agree, Rob, that I think smaller channels need to do a lot more experimentation, which people are very scared to do, but you should be doing that. Putting out lots of videos on various topics, almost to try kind of find what you really love doing. If you wake up in the morning and say, oh, I need to do a follow-up on that video and that video, it gives you that direction, but also gives you that experience. Can I make it better? What was my thumbnail like? What was my title like? Why do people not click? I think being married too much to the analytics right at the beginning without having the skills is also a real reason for burnout. You're watching that view count go from 0 to 1 and then a day later to 2, that's going to feed onto your psyche to say, well, what am I doing this for? But you've only got 1 video out. Nobody knows you yet. So you've got to use those factors as well. Now, the one thing we haven't spoken about is external factors. So we spoke about internal factors, our mindset. How do we approach our channels? How do we niche down or not niche down too much? How do we look at our analytics? But the one thing we haven't touched on is external, like negativity. Comments, social media, people tell you to never do this game again because you suck at it. People telling you that your reviews are terrible, your tutorials are terrible, and now you want to curl up into a little ball in the corner and cry. How do we let comments affect us in a negative way, positive way? I'd love to know, Lila, your thoughts on people that just don't dig what you're doing and they're not afraid to say it.
I do want to add one little point to your last point, and that is that as a small channel and not having a lot of data, that actually gives you a lot of freedom, which is great because you can actually play and experiment, and it's not a negative thing to not have any data or not have an audience. It's actually perfect because no one really cares about your channel yet, you know, so you can just play around with it and you can just figure out what you like to make as well as what works for your channel. So
and
that
have
was,
fun. And have
yes,
fun with it.
Yes, and have fun with it. Now, how do I respond to quote-unquote harassment or negativity? I don't respond to it because my mentality is that if you put a negative comment in my comment section, I'm going to delete it because I've worked so hard on my videos. It's not that I don't appreciate like constructive criticism, but if it's not that, if it's just flat out a negative comment, I don't have space for that on my channel. I don't have space for that in my comment section. I work too hard for it. I want it to be a safe place as well for the people in the comment section. I don't want there to be any negativity or fight. So I just delete it and I move on.
Okay, but do you let that impact you though, kind of in your mind? So we all do that. I mean, we all block those haters and we hide them from our channel. Yeah. But you got to admit that when you're sitting there in the evening trying to work out what your next video is, some rando comment from a little while back still just sits there gnawing at you. You forget about all the hundreds of positive comments, but that one comment is the one that really just irritates you.
Sorry, Leron, that was me. I just couldn't stand that video you made.
I keep blocking you, but you keep creating new usernames. I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, I'm up to 748 now in my usernames.
Yeah, now honestly, I have not been affected with any negative comments because the negative comments that I get are just ones that I can just laugh off because they're just dumb comments, you know? So I haven't really had any comments that really hurt me because it was one of my insecurities or something. So I cannot really comment on that. Usually it's just like a dumb comment and I'm just like, whatever, and I just delete it. So I am very lucky for now.
Oh, don't open that can of worms. Dan, gaming community tends to be vicious. I know it's hard to believe. I know.
Well, yeah, if you spend any time on the internet, you dared to have fun and play a game, you've probably come across somebody saying some nonsense. So do that publicly, you know. So that was my plan. I'm going to do this where people can just kind of talk at me and I'm not going to be able to respond until after the fact. That'll be fun. It early on, and I've been playing around on YouTube for probably about 8 or 9 years now. I was a lot younger. It really impacted me. And you know what really made problems? It wasn't so much the outright hateful comments, which those were there. And I'd same thing, just block them. Don't respond to them. They want a response. And sometimes blocking is the response that satisfies them. That's great, but they can never do it again. So I block them. The ones that would get me the most would be the ones who would say, hey, instead of doing this, you should be doing this. And they would act like they knew better. And then what would make it worse is if even one person agreed with them. What got in my head was a lot of people must feel this way. These are just the outspoken ones. How many people are out there that feel this way that aren't speaking up? And they would impact the direction of my content. And then when I didn't enjoy myself or I didn't, you know, it wasn't doing well, it took a little bit. It took a few of those mistakes to go, you know what? Vocal minority. You know, this is just people who are that those were the folks who really got under my skin more so than the people who were just outright like toxic. And there's been plenty of them.
These are the brave ones that put that comment out. There's got to be thousands of other people thinking the exact same thing. What am I doing with my life? I'm clearly don't know what I'm doing. The imposter syndrome kicks in. I mean, maybe Rob, you can speak to that because you're now public facing. Well, not now, you've been public facing for quite a while. You speak at the various events, you're there on stage, it's you and a big spotlight and thousands of people watching you, and now you've got this channel to maintain, and you go into your comments and you see all these people saying, no, you're wrong, I did this, it didn't work. Does that ever play into your mind when you're trying to create your next video?
I might be making this up to fit my argument, but isn't there some logic where it's a lot more difficult to get a piece of praise than it is criticism? You know, like in the business and retail world, that a lot of people will just be satisfied with a job well done and not say anything, whereas if one thing is slightly wrong, then everyone will complain about it. And I think what I'm trying to say here is that if you're looking through the comments and you're seeing that, like, for every 10 comments which are positive saying that they enjoyed the content, etc., etc., versus one or two negative comments, which it kind of feels that way for me, certainly on the vidIQ channel, then I think that communicates to me that I and the vidIQ team is doing a good job. And I've always had the notion of, even if it's a negative comment and a bad comment, at least you provoked that person into like a response to your comment. I think the worst thing to have for a content creator is have nobody talking about your content at all. And then yes, you do have to get into a mindset of saying, all right, you don't like what I do, that's fine, this channel's not for you. I'm not going to waste my time trying to convince you that you should watch my content. YouTube has got tens of millions of other creators, go off and join them. I am going to focus on the positivity and the constructive comments that are coming from the people who do enjoy my content. And I think I'll also just highlight what Leela said earlier on as well, in that sometimes there aren't negative comments or constructive criticism. So you do need to be aware of them. Like if they are picking out something that you look back and say, yeah, you were actually right there. The lighting wasn't quite right, as Leela's been telling me just before we were live, or that, you know, you got that fact wrong. You know, you should accept where there is, you know, legitimate criticism.
For me, I look at it as my comments as the 70-20-10 rule. So 70% of the comments are just positive, good people, amazing, right? I have 20% of people who do good engagement. I don't agree because, and it's an intellectual conversation, and I'm very happy to have that, and I'm happy to be wrong as well. I mean, that's just the way that, that it works. And then you get the 10% toxic, bottom of the barrel, people who have nothing else to do with their lives, or something's really horrible in their lives, and this is the way that they express it. So I think for me, I don't worry about the 10% because you're never going to win with them. I worry about the 70 or even the, you know, the majority of my audience. I know who my audience is, and I make video for them. I'm not going to let the 10% stop me from doing things that I love and sharing the knowledge that I have when kind of serving my own community. So I focus on those and try as best as I possibly can to ignore all the beep beep of the nonsense from those people. So those are my final parting words. Lila.
Well, first of all, you are allowed to take a break. I think that is just the most important thing, because I think that the most important thing about being on YouTube is having fun. And as soon as you don't have fun anymore, I think that you should take a step back and see why aren't you having fun anymore? And how can you improve on that situation? And if that means that you have to take a few weeks off, take a few weeks off. And I think that about that 10% that you were talking about, something that I believe in and that I tell myself and that helps me a lot is when someone comments something very negative, it's not productive, it's just like mean. I always think that hurt people hurt people. If someone like me or you is just happy and content with their life, we're just doing our thing, we would never comment something like that on a video. We would just move on. If we don't like a video, we just move on. But hurt people who just have either hurt in their lives or they're just very like unsatisfied with their life, they usually take it out on you. So I think that that would be my last thing that I want to tell people, is that if you get a very negative, mean comment, the problem is not with you or with your video. The problem is with them because they're going through something. And for me, having that empathy kind of towards those people helps me stay sane as well.
Dan, final burnout comment from you.
I completely agree that it's okay to take a break. I've taken lots of breaks. YouTube's always kind of been a side hustle or a hobby. And what's always amazed me is you'll see a name pop up in the comments when you come back that's like, I'm glad you're back. There's no, you know, and I've had tons of those. And there's never any malice there. I'm glad you're back. Good video, you know. And like Rob said, most of the time when people are like satisfied with something, they don't say anything. You know, you can almost look at your view count, and you know, all of the people in that view count who didn't comment probably came away with a pretty positive experience. So it's even cooler when the regulars come back. And again, it's okay to take a break. And I think YouTube is just one of the coolest things you could possibly do. Why set yourself up for failure by putting pressure on yourself constantly? So those are my parting words.
And parting words from you, Mr. Wilson.
If you are feeling tired, burnt out, wondering why you are doing YouTube, just pause, take a step back, and ask yourself, why did I start YouTube in the first place? And hopefully you'll get the answer which confirms why you're doing any of this in the first place. And if it takes a couple of days, you know, if you need to do something else, whether it be walk the dog, play a game, read a book, something that just diverts you away from what YouTube can sometimes quickly turn into, which feels like another job, then do that. I think echoing what everybody else has said, it's okay to step away from YouTube if you need to.
Thanks for hanging out with us on another episode of Tube Talk. Don't forget to share this episode with at least one other content creator, perhaps someone who seems to be burning out, not inspired, doesn't want to make more content on their channel. This is surely going to help them. We appreciate you guys being here, and we'll catch you on the next episode of Tube Talk.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tube Talk, brought to you by VidIQ. Head over to vidIQ.com/TubeTalk for today's show notes and previous episodes. Enjoy the rest of your video-making day.